Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 125, Eternal Judgment. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message via live stream from Fort Wayne, Indiana on April 19th, 2020.
We'll be continuing on our message. Our message is about foundations. And we want you to stay tuned the next couple of weeks because coming out of this coronavirus, we have some really special things that we want to share with you that will help you in stepping into what some people are calling a new normal. But God isn't surprised or shocked about anything in the middle of a crisis, before a crisis, or after a crisis. He's never, never shocked. And he's got a lot of things to take you through this, not only to take us through this, but to bring you through to victory. So this morning, we're going to wrap up the messages that we've been giving on foundations. We have spoken about a number of things. We're taking it from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. But the point is that since we're in a crisis, you know, maybe, just maybe, we ought to check our foundations and make sure they're good. Because the Bible says that when the storms of life come, Jesus told his disciples, when the storms of life come, that you better be built on a good foundation, otherwise your house is going to collapse. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of doctrines of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." So in the previous weeks, you can check the podcast. In the previous weeks, we've covered all of those things, repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands. And on Resurrection Sunday, we talked about the resurrection of the dead. And so today we're going to talk about eternal judgment. Now, this is probably everybody's favorite subject, and it's probably every preacher's favorite subject to preach on. Because nobody wants to hear hellfire and damnation, but you know it's the reality. The reality is judgment is coming. Maybe judgment is already starting. Some people think this crisis is the judgment of God. We can have different opinions about that. But the reality is there's coming an eternal judgment, and that, the Bible says, is one of the foundation principles of our faith. So this morning, I want to start with a scripture from Colossians chapter 1. Actually, I intended to put these scriptures up into the chat box, but I can do that a little bit later. So if you want to just concentrate on the message, we'll put the scriptures in the chat box a little bit later in the service. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 to 29, it says to them, that is, Paul is speaking to the saints here, the saints in the church of Colossae, "God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Verse 28, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that he powerfully works within me." So Paul is saying that he's pressing, he's straining to do two things, basically to warn every person and to teach every person for the purpose of bringing them to a place of maturity. Now, if you just think about the crisis that we're currently in, and maybe crises we've been through, and maybe some that are ahead, one of the things that really is needed is maturity. So I think probably as a church, we've spent probably a whole lot more time on the part about teaching everyone with all wisdom than we've spent on warning every person. Sometimes the warnings are left out. But today we're going to talk about some of those warnings because they're in the Bible. And we shouldn't just skip over them and lightly pass over them because they're there for our good. Paul said it will bring us to a place of maturity. So I'm going to relate first to a story that Jesus told his disciples, the story of Lazarus, the poor man Lazarus and the rich man in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter. You might call this story, if you had a title for it, you might say a day late and dollar short. That's an American expression, an English expression. But this guy that was the rich man, he actually was a day late and a dollar short when it came to eternity. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. At his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received good things, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm is fixed, in order that all those who would pass here to you may not be able, and none may cross here to us." Then he said, this is the rich man, he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." I think this is really an interesting story that Jesus relates, because it has to do with the finality of the human existence. The question is not how you start, the question is how you finish. And what will be your lot, my lot, our lot, when that day comes? And we see from this story that Jesus was bringing home the point that there's time when you're on this side of eternity to make some decisions, to take some action, to chart your course in life, and to decide to do it on a spiritual foundation, or to decide to do it on some other kind of foundation, maybe your own foundation, maybe one of your own making. You know, a lot of times people want to serve a God of their own making. You know, if I had a God, it should be a God like this. He just loves everybody, forgives everybody, and doesn't require anything of anybody. But that's not really the God of the Bible. And so the Bible says that there are consequences to actions, there are consequences to sin, there's consequences to our decisions. And one day we will face our Maker, and whatever we made on this side of eternity will determine how it is on that side of eternity. That's what this rich man found out about his life and about his eternity. So Jesus brought the point home very well. I don't think I could improve on it by trying to explain what he said. He just said, look, there's no way after death, there's no way to get a reprieve. And there's no way from somebody to be risen from the dead to tell the friends either. So he's talking about not just you and me, he's talking about you and me and our families and the other people around us, those who are marching towards eternity. My pastor, Dr. Lester Sumrall, had a vision when he was a young man, and he was 20 years old, before he went to the mission field. He had been preaching for about 3 years. When he was 17, he was miraculously raised from death, or saved from death, because he was sick and dying of tuberculosis, and a vision actually put him into the ministry. And then when he was 20 years old, he had another vision, and in that vision he saw the whole world marching towards hell, actually, they were all going down a big wide road. And on that wide road, he could see Japanese, he could see Americans, he could see Europeans, he could see Asians, he could see people from every tribe, every kindred, every walk of life, and they were all marching the same direction. They were all going towards eternity, and at eternity, they were coming to the edge of that place, and when they came to the edge, he saw them go over into the flames of fire. And he said that vision impacted him so much that it actually propelled him into the mission field, because God said to him, "You're responsible for those who are going over the edge." And he said, "Well, I've never even seen those people. I don't even know them." And then God took him to the book of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel said, "If you don't warn the people, their blood is on your hands." So you see, this message today about eternal judgment is not just about you and me and where we're going and how we're going to end up. It really is about the multitudes that are out there that don't know Jesus, that haven't heard the gospel, that haven't received him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because they're going into eternity as well. So as we contemplate crises, and maybe these are the signs of the end times, I mean, for sure they're the signs of the end times, but maybe the increase in these things happening is amazing. So we need to have in mind that there's an eternity, and that eternity has something to do with judgment. So in the book of Acts, in the 24th chapter, Paul is talking to a governor named Felix. He was before this governor because some Jewish people had accused him wrongfully accused him of some things, and they wanted his life. They wanted to take his life. And so he appealed to Caesar, and he was on his way to Rome. And on his way to Rome, one of his stops was here with this governor, Felix, who was supposed to determine some things about him. And so when Felix heard Paul preach, he was interested in the gospel. Acts chapter 24, verse 24 says, "A few days later, Felix came back with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about faith in Jesus Christ. As he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the coming day of judgment, Felix became frightened. 'Go away for now,' he replied. 'When it is more convenient, I will call you again.' He also hoped that Paul would bribe him, so he sent for him quite often and talked with him. After 2 years it went by this way, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish people, he left Paul in prison." So it's just kind of an interesting byline, but the point I wanted to make with that is when Paul was preaching to people, he wasn't just teaching them, he was warning them. He was talking to this governor, this important person in the government. He was talking to him about salvation, about what Jesus did and who Jesus was, and he was teaching him. Felix was acquainted with what they called the Way. He was acquainted with their what he would have considered their philosophy, their religion, but he didn't receive Jesus. And when Paul began to preach to him about eternal judgment, he got frightened. And when he got frightened, instead of it bringing conviction to his heart, he just put off the time of his salvation and just said, "Come back another time, come back another time, come back another time." But one day his time ran out, and he was no longer the governor, and he turned Paul over to somebody else. And you notice there that he traded his salvation for favor with some people. What an amazing thing. You know, people are still making trades. They're putting off their decision for salvation, and they're making trades with their life, but it has to do with their eternity. How dangerous that is. How amazing it is, really. Especially when you see this kind of conviction in a man like this of this stature. Think what could have happened if Felix would have accepted Jesus and maybe taken the gospel all the way to Rome with Paul. I mean, amazing things could have happened. But he hardened his heart and just put the day off. So today I want to look at, I want to just take a little closer look at this subject of eternal judgment, and we're going to look at, first of all, in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 37. This is a sermon that Peter is preaching, in Acts chapter 10 in the household of Cornelius. And verse 37, it says, he said, "You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all he did, both in the country of the Jews and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on the tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Now, this is one of the longer recorded sermons in the Bible, the sermon of Peter that he preached to this household. We know from the story that while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on those people. They all got saved. The whole household came to Jesus, servants, men, women, young people, babies, everybody that could hear and understand received Jesus in that household that day. And were baptized in the Holy Spirit, were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues and magnify God. Amazing, amazing, amazing thing happened. But notice that Paul didn't just preach the cross and Jesus and his resurrection. He also preached that Jesus was appointed by God to be the judge of the living and dead. So there we can see when Paul began to pick up this same line of thinking, the same line of reasoning, he was not just teaching people how to have a better life or how to have, you know, get things from God or how to receive things. I mean, of course, he taught on faith. He taught on all of those things. But he was also warning. He was teaching every man, but he was warning every man that there's a judgment to come. And there's a reason beyond this life. There's a reason for you to get your life turned around and headed in the right direction. So that's why this is called the foundation principle of faith. That's why when the writer to the Hebrews, whether it was Peter or whether it was Paul, some people dispute that, whoever the writer was, he was bringing home this point that these are foundations. All of these items are foundations. A foundation, if it's missing some bricks, it's not a good foundation. So we can't go through life and miss the brick, miss the structure of eternal judgment and still have a good foundation. So in looking at that, the first kind of point about this is that every man, woman, and young person, every person that's born to this earth has an appointment, a divine appointment. It's a divine appointment with judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him, he shall appear a second time without sin until salvation. So this eternal judgment is also connected with salvation. It's connected with how you will spend the rest of eternity, and that's why it's so important. That's why it's an important element, an important principle in the foundational truths of the Christian faith. It's appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Wow. So, divine appointment with judgment, everyone. You, me, every man, every woman, every person that's alive, every person that was alive and died, every person who ever will live, an appointment with eternal judgment. The second thing I want to focus on is that there's a way to hold fast and stay on the path. Because it's important to know that, you know, not everything is lost. You know, you make one slip up and bang, you're finished. But there is a way to hold fast and there is a way to stay on the path. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21, we're going to be covering quite a few scriptures very quickly, and that's why I'm going to put these on the chat margin in a little bit. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21 says, And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, and let us consider to one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See how important it is just to get together? I mean, today we're getting together on Zoom, but there's got to be more to it than Zooming, right? So verse 26, it says, for if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour their adversaries. So there it says, you can have accepted Jesus, but you can go down the wrong path, but you don't have to. Verse 28 says, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much sore punishment suppose you that he thought worthy who has trodden under the foot of the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despot to the Spirit of grace? For we know him that says, vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So there's a path to take. You can take the wrong path. And the way to take the wrong path is just willfully sinning. So the aspect of that is that it would be sinning without repentance from it. If you get to that place where you're not repentant of your sins, then there's judgment afterward. And that's the condition that you can avoid by staying on the right path and holding fast to the things of God. Verse 21 said, we have a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the way to stay on the path. That's the way to keep on the path and to avoid the eternal judgment. The third thing that I want to look at this morning is the two kinds of judgment that will come. The first one is the judgment of the seed of Christ. In Romans chapter 14, verse 9, it says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living and the dead. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us will give account of himself to God. So Paul is saying everybody's going to give an account, but there's something that a lot of people misunderstand. They think everybody's going to be judged the same. It's just going to be the same judgment. But this, Paul is writing here, the judgment seat of Christ is for the unbeliever, the one who never comes to Christ, the one who never comes to Jesus. He said, for this end, he died and rose that he might be the judge of both the dead and the living. So he's talking about everybody in that sense. But then he says that these will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Actually, this one is the judgment seat of Christ is the believers, because he's writing this to the Romans. I'm sorry, I just misspoke there. He's writing to the Romans. These are believers, and he says we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So let's look at the other judgment seat, the other judgment that comes. It's found in the book of Revelations, the 22nd chapter and the 8th verse. It says, but cowards and unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. In Revelation 22, verse 10, it says, and the devil deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. And I saw a great white throne, and on him and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And the other book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that's pretty harsh scripture, and probably nobody likes to read that, but that's the lot of the unsaved. So there are those two types of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, where the believers, those who have accepted Jesus, will stand before them and give an account of God for themselves. You know, the Bible says, you know, we're supposed to submit to authority, follow after them because they have to give them a report. So we should actually obey them and submit to them because he says you should want to have this person give a good report for you, give a report on your account. But then also we're going to face personally, one-on-one, and give an account of ourselves to the Lord. So I don't know exactly how that how that looks. I know that our sins are all under the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that he'll put his sin far from you as the east is from the west, and he will remember it no more. 1 John 1, verse 8 and 9 says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that being the case, if you're forgiven and cleansed, and God has put your sins away from you as far as the east and from the west, I personally don't see you giving an account for those sins because Jesus already took those sins and wiped them out. But you have to give an account for the actions. Maybe, you know, God has given you some instructions and he's saying, tell me how you did. He's spoken to your heart and you need to tell him what you did about that, how you followed his leading and how you carried out his instruction. Some people say that at this judgment seat of Christ, that's where the awards will be handed out for those who did well and those who not did so well. I mean, I guess we'll all be happy to be in heaven and thankful and grateful to Jesus for going to the cross, that in spite of our failures, in spite of any misdeeds, in spite of, you know, any shortcomings, in spite of not completing a mission, he's still there and we made it. Praise the Lord. And we'll be joyful and happy and reunited with those that have gone before us. The Bible says that we should comfort one another with those words, that we who are alive and remain will be caught up with those who died and gone before us. So heaven is going to be a place of joy. The Bible describes it as a place of a banquet and so forth and so on. And then on the other side, there is the judgment of the unrepentant and the unrighteous. And it's not a pretty picture, because the hell and the fire and the torment that Jesus described that the rich man was going through was made for the devil, not for people. But sadly, those who follow after Satan and his cohorts, that's their lot in life. That's their lot in eternity, and there's no turning back. So this thing of eternal judgment, it's an important concept. It's not just a concept, it's a principle, and it's a reality, and it's a fact. And so we need to take it to heart. How are we living today? How are we going to live tomorrow? What are we going to do about the things that need to change in our lives? Are we going to just go on and keep on doing? Are we going to repent, come back to God? Are we going to live for him, serve him, love him, honor him? What are we going to do? So, thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who can take us through these things. So there is a divine appointment. Everybody's included. We should hold fast and stay on the path for the right outcome. For every believer, there's the judgment seat of Christ. For the wicked, there's the great white throne judgment. But we always need to remember what is our responsibility. So I'm going to close with just a few scriptures here. Just checking the time here, just closing with a couple of scriptures here. I charge you, 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 4, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom, number one, to preach the word, Number two, be ready in season and out of season. Number three, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Four, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, that they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into the myths. So, you know, you can wander off or you can stay on the path. You can wander off or you can embrace truth. So what elements are there to keep us on the path? Preaching the word, being ready in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. So maybe we don't like the reproof. Maybe we don't like the rebuke. Maybe we just prefer the exhorting, you know, encourage me. Give me an encouraging word. Give me a good word. Don't tell me any of this bad stuff. Don't scare me. But that would be incomplete and it would be unfair because it's the truth of God's word. So how do we get this strength for living for eternity? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 says, Christ suffered while he was in the body, so you should strengthen yourselves with the same kind of thinking that Christ had. The one who accepts suffering in this life has clearly decided to stop sinning. Strengthen yourselves so that you will live your lives here on earth doing what God wants, not the evil things that people want to do. In the past, you wasted too much time doing those things which those who don't know God like to do. You were living immoral lives, doing evil things that you wanted to do. You were always getting drunk, having wild parties, doing shameful things in your worship of idols. Now, those friends think it is strange that you no longer join them in this wild and wasteful things that they do. And so they say bad things about you, but they will have to face God to explain what they have done. He is the one who will judge, who will soon judge everyone, those who are still living and those who have died. So there's coming a day when we have to, so in so many words, face the music. But thankfully, Jesus suffered and died for us so that we can live in victory. So that we can have victory over those things and live a different kind of life. So the question is, are you ready? Are you ready for what's coming up? Are you ready for the next crisis? But are you ready, really, are you ready for eternity? In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said in verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when our Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So I suppose in this crisis, you know, some people who got sick, some people who got the COVID-19, eternity came to them a lot faster. I have no guarantees that something is not going to attack you. I know that we have protections of the Word of God, but we can also open ourselves up to some other kinds of things. So the question is, are we ready? And if we're ready, you know, like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So we don't have to really be fearful of those things. If God has given you a mission to complete, you can complete the mission. Through faith and patience, you can inherit the promise. You can take a hold of the promises of healing. You can take a hold of the promise of protection. You can take a hold of the promise of Psalm 91 and all of the other kinds of things. Isaiah 41, verse 10, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I'll be with you everywhere you go. Take a hold of those promises. In John 15, verse 4, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they will gather them up and throw them in the fire and they are burned." So the way to be ready is just to abide in him. Get closer to him than ever before. Draw close to him. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So it's not all doom and gloom, but there is a warning out there. There are a couple of ways to go. You can take the right fork in the path, or you can take the left fork in the path. Don't take the wrong one. Don't take the wrong path. Finally, I want to close with this scripture from Revelation. Revelation chapter 21, It's about the New Jerusalem. This is really the good news, and I want to end it really on the good news. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Okay, Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. The sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. He will be with his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying or pain. All these things gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. I guess I couldn't end it any better. I couldn't say it any better. What John saw in that vision when Jesus spoke to him was the truth, the eternal truth. And I want to be, and I want you to be, I want all of us to be, those listening by podcast, those listening, joining in by Zoom today, let's all be in a place to see that new heaven and to see that new earth. Jesus is coming, maybe a lot sooner than a lot of people think, or maybe hope, but he is coming. And then we'll see that new heaven and that new earth, that new Jerusalem. And together we'll rejoice forever in his presence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these who have joined us today. Thank you for opening their hearts and their lives. Lord, continue by your Holy Spirit to convict us in the areas that we need to change. Continue to speak into us, Lord. Continue to lead us and guide us. Put us on the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Put us beside the quiet waters and in the green pastures where we can hear your voice, Lord. Help us to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, to come under your wings, Lord, and take shelter. And help us above everything, Lord, to build the right kind of foundation, to keep the right kind of foundation sound in our life so that we can be amongst those who are at the judgment seat of Christ and avoid the great white throne judgment. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross, for paying the price and making a way. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Now, maybe you've heard this message this morning and you're convicted. I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to forgive you if there's some things that you've missed. I want to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus, to recommit your life if you once committed it and you've walked away or you've strayed off of the path. This is the time. Now's the day of salvation. Maybe you're on the Zoom call or you're listening by podcast and you've never accepted Jesus as Lord. This is your opportunity. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. Confessing with your mouth means putting Jesus in charge of your life, and you're speaking it out in a way that's audible. You're inviting him to be the Lord of your life. You can do that by praying right where you are, in your home, with your family. You can commit your life to the Lord. If there are people around you, I encourage you, confess boldly before them. The Bible says that if we confess him before man, he'll confess us before his Father. And so it's an important step to take. If there's anything standing in your way, if there's any kind of area that you've backslid in, today is a day of repentance. Today is a time to come back to God. The times that we're living in are important. It's important to make the right choices. It's important to go the right direction. So let's just take a minute to allow you to do that. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to have a little bit of discussion over one of the scriptures that I shared this morning. We're going to have like a little bit of an open forum that'll give you a chance to give some feedback. But right now is the moment of salvation, the moment of coming to God, the moment of drawing near to God. So let's just take a few minutes. It's going to be just a couple of minutes of silence here on this end. I'm not going to be saying anything. Maybe we can have Adonis play his guitar or something like that. You don't need music to come to God, but, you know, so we don't have dead airspace, dead air time here. Maybe Adonis can get his guitar and play. But please, whatever it is, before God, you and Him, let's get this right today. Let's do this together and let's do it now. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.